Corinthians chapter 6, looking at the holiness of Christian ministry. Last week we made it through the first two verses of chapter 6, but we're going to continue on in verse 3. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 says, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace towards us. We thank you that you proved your love for us in such a dramatic way. And Father, I pray that we in turn would prove our love for you by being obedient. Father, part of that is not just hearing the word, but being doers of the word. So I pray, Father, that you would use us to bring glory and honor to yourself. I pray, Father, that you would do a work in each life here that would bring that glory and honor to you, that you would be the only one that would deserve that. You're the only one that should get it. And so I pray, Father, that even tonight, as we look into your word again tonight, I pray that you'd be lifted up. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we as the gospel messengers, right? And people say, well, God didn't call me to preach. I didn't say that. I said the gospel messenger, right? We're all to be out there giving the gospel to others. And we're to give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Unfortunately, as I mentioned last week, as we were kind of in some of this stuff of the holiness of Christian ministry, is we've got too many people touting what great Christians they are, and yet they're bringing blame on the Christian ministry, on Christianity as a whole, because of the way they're living their lives, the things that they're doing, the things that they're involved in, that they ought not to be, right? And so we need to be careful because we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him in this world. When we do that, we need to do it so that we don't tarnish the ministry in any way, shape, or form. When we sin, we give offense. It's the way it is. The testimony of all Christians and churches suffer when we sin. People go, well, that can't be. Yes, when we sin and people are watching what we're doing, that puts a bad name on Christianity. It affects Christianity as a whole. It affects God's churches. It affects Jesus Christ. We are His ambassadors. We're here to speak on His behalf. And we need to be careful that we're doing it when we're out in the world, that we're acting like we belong to Him, right? And this morning, Brother Fred brought out again about his kids. You know, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to not embarrass Him while He's gone, right? We should not be an embarrassment to our Savior. And it can be difficult, right? Because this flesh doesn't want to do what this Bible tells us. It just doesn't. So we fight. We have this war going on. So we need to be careful. They used great caution to not give offense, to not allow people to do anything that would hinder the gospel going out. They wanted to make sure that when the gospel was presented, it wasn't going to be anything that they did or said that was going to keep someone from coming to know Jesus Christ the Savior. That should be every child of God's desire. That whatever I do in my life, when I talk to people, when I just live my life out in front of people, that there'd be nothing in my life that would hinder someone from coming to Jesus Christ. We don't want to be that person that causes someone to stumble and fall out there. We definitely don't want to do it to a brother or sister in Christ, right? So we need to be careful. So they were watching. They were watching for not to do anything towards the Jews or the Gentiles that would cause a problem. And we need to be careful of that. Make sure that we are able to choose our words carefully, to choose our actions carefully, not to give an offense or an occasion of guilt or grief. Too many times we hear the stories of people that, well, I don't need what you got. And then they start naming off people that profess to be born-again believers in Jesus Christ and what they're doing in their lives to justify why they don't need Jesus Christ. When the truth of the matter is, they shouldn't be judging their life against these people. They should be judging their life against the Lord Jesus Christ. If they did that, they would find that they fall short. And we're all, anybody in here guiltless? If you said yes, if I'd seen a single hand go up, I'd say, well, that's not what the Bible tells us. We're all guilty. And so we need to be careful. Need to be careful. People are too apt to take offense. I tell you, you can offend people so easily. So easily. And too many times, I think that people just need to grow a little thicker skin, because we can be offended so easy. And it does, I mean, somebody can look at us, and because they don't have a smile on their face, and we don't know why they don't have a smile on their face, right? It could be because they're going through something we know nothing about. But man, we're offended, right? They didn't smile at me. We need to grow a little thicker skin and say, you know what? It's okay if somebody doesn't smile at me. Maybe they're having a bad day. Anybody ever have a bad day? I mean, there's some days that just aren't as good as other days. So we need to not let tiny little things get to us, right? Because when we look at the scope of everything, isn't eternity more important than whether or not my feelings were hurt? Isn't it better that somebody would come to know Christ as their own personal Savior and your feelings be hurt in the process? Because we got one more person to spend eternity with. When that, I don't know, I'm just saying it would be a great thing if we had more people going to heaven, less people going to hell, and people getting over the fact that it's not about them. They wanted the ministry to be successful. They wanted to be so careful that nothing would hinder their ministries. The ministry that God gave them to do. We as gospel messengers are to be approved in all things, maintaining our testimony with Christian love, even when suffering or persecuted. Now, we suffer or are persecuted, and what happens? All of a sudden we get the gloves out, right? We want our pound of flesh. No, we're not happy with a pound. We want 2 pounds of flesh. Because if somebody else harmed us, we want to get that and then some back. Instead of saying, you know what? If the gospel is going to go forward, if people are going to know Christ, we're going to have to show some Christian love. We're going to have to say, you know what? It's not all about me. It's about Him. And yeah, maybe my feelings are hurt. Maybe something happened. Maybe somebody actually persecuted me, right? We wouldn't even know what that is in this nation. We might get to know. I mean, they're coming after anything that's spiritual these days. They're coming after us. They're trying to do everything they can to tear down what God's built up. We shouldn't help them. We should not help them. Can't we suffer a little? I mean, if everybody here was here this morning, you heard what I said about the suffering of Christ. Has anybody in this room suffered that much? So it's probably not all that bad if we had to suffer some and let it slide off our back and say, you know what? It's not about me. It's about seeing people come to our Savior. The sufferings of the Lord ambassador, of the Lord's ambassadors in verses 4 and 5 says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience. Ooh, there's a word we don't like, right? We were talking about that just a little bit ago. Patience. In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Their constant aim and endeavor in all things to prove themselves faithful as becoming the ministers of God. Didn't matter what it was. Let's just be faithful. No matter what they throw at us, let's just be faithful. We see how much stress the apostle upon all occasions lays on fidelity, faithfulness, right? In our work, because much of our success depends upon that. His eye was single and his heart upright in all his ministrations, and his great desire was to be the servant of God and to prove himself so. Paul just wanted to point people to Christ. Paul understood what it was like to be an ambassador for Christ. He understood that what he was doing was pointing people to Christ, not to himself. Paul went through a lot. An awful lot. And he said, you know what? Even though they persecuted him, I mean, they tried to kill him on several occasions, he still said his desire was that they would all be saved. Now, can you imagine somebody trying to beat you to death and all you can think about is, man, I just want that person to be saved. No, our minds are probably going, I can't wait till I can get my hands around their throat and strangle them to death, right? But we should have a different mindset, right? As a child of God, you know where you're going. But them, as children of the devil, we know where they're going too. By the way, we shouldn't pray for them to go there. We should pray for them to get saved, that they wouldn't have to. Ministers of the gospel should look upon themselves as God's servants or ministers and act in everything suitable to that character. And the apostle did that by much, much, much patience in afflictions. He had much patience. We were talking about before, when I first got here tonight, we were talking about the impatience of people on the road today. It seems like there's fewer and fewer patience being shown on the road today. People don't have any time to wait. It's like, I have a specific line, if you want to get somewhere on time, leave a little bit earlier. Right? So, I plan on, it's a half hour drive roughly from my house to here. When the roads are the way they are, when there's construction and stuff, you got to plan ahead. So you might leave 15 minutes earlier because you might have a truck driving slower because of the breakup limits. You might have an accident. You could have all kinds of things. So you leave a little bit earlier. Okay, I already leave a half hour early from when I have. I could leave a half hour later and still get here right on time. But I get here earlier. Why? Because I don't want to be late. Now, have I cut it close a few times? Oh, yeah. There's sometimes when you're stuck behind an accident and you can't do much about it. Stuck behind a train and then there's another and another and you're like, okay, Lord, what's going on here? Excuse me. Sometimes it gets cut close. But if you want to be somewhere on time, just leave a little earlier. It'll work out better. And patience. If you're not running behind and you see you've got plenty of time, you don't have to be so impatient. Paul was a great sufferer. He met with many afflictions, was often in necessities and wanted the conveniences, if not the necessities, of life, in distresses, being straitened on every side, hardly knowing what to do, in stripes, often. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:24, and we're coming back to chapter 6, so keep your hand there. Says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. So save one means he had 39 stripes. They used to believe that 40 stripes would kill a man. So they beat him 39. I guess that's where they got within an inch of your life, right? Because they thought, well, we'll just withhold one and they'll live through it. In imprisonments, in tumults raised by the Jews and Gentiles against him, in labors, not only in preaching the gospel, but in traveling from place to place for that end, and working with his hands to supply his necessities, in watchings and in fastings, either voluntary or upon a spiritual account, or involuntary for the sake of the gospel, but he exercised much patience in all. Patience. Bible tells us what? Tribulation worketh patience. We don't pray for patience, right? Because we don't want them. We know that tribulations worketh patience, and we pray for patience, we get tribulation, right? We don't want that. So instead, we go through life with no patience. It's hard, right? I mean, I've said many times, it's a good thing I don't have the power God's got. I'd be wiping people off the face of the planet left and right. We're impatient people. I'm just being honest. There's people that just every once in a while, they just irritate me to no end, and I'm just thinking, get out of the way. If we had power to do that, we'd be taking them out left and right. Because of our impatience. It is the lot of faithful ministers often to be reduced to great difficulties and to stand in need of much patience. We do need much patience. I thank God that he puts his hand over my mouth when the phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning and I don't say this better be important like I used to do when people would call me in the middle of the night. Now I want to know what it is because it generally is important when somebody calls in the middle of the night. But I have had those calls in the middle of the night. And that's the first thing out of my mouth. This better be important. Thank God I don't do that anymore. I've gotten a little more patient with the phone ringing in the middle of the night. And definitely not because of me. It's all because of God. Those who prove themselves to be to God must prove themselves faithful in trouble as well as in peace, not only in doing the work of God diligently, but also in bearing the will of God patiently. Again, patiently, patiently, patiently. So many times it's about patience. I think maybe God's telling us we need some patience. Isn't God patient with us? Oh, definitely. I know he is with me. You know, I think, man, be so nice to be where I should be instead of where I am. I'm not talking about standing here or whatever. I'm just talking in my spiritual walk. It'd be nice if I was where I should be instead of where I am. He'll go, but you're a pastor of a church. That doesn't make me super spiritual. I have time. I've already said I have times when patience isn't my strong suit. But it should be. The arsenal of the Lord's ambassadors in verses 6 through 7. The first one, purity. Look at the first part of verse 6. It says, by pureness, by acting from good principles. The apostle went by a good principle in all he did and tells them what his principles were, namely pureness. And there is no piety without purity. A care to keep ourselves unspotted from the world is necessary in order to our acceptance with God. Unspotted from the world. See, the world will drag us down. The world will tell us, oh, come on, what's the harm, right? Come on, live a little, have some fun, right? What the world calls fun isn't fun. Drives me crazy when people say, you Baptists can't have any fun. I have fun all the time. We can have fun. We can enjoy our Christian life. We don't have to run around like somebody stole our birthday all the time. We can have fun. We can enjoy life. In fact, we're supposed to have joy, right? Count it all joy, no matter what we're going through. Then knowledge of the Lord and His Word. The next part of verse 6, it says, by knowledge. Knowledge was another principle, and zeal without this is but madness. Knowledge of the gospel which they received from God and communicated to men. Knowledge. We need more knowledge. How do we get more knowledge? We spend time with God. We spend time in His Word. Brother Fred brought out the Bereans this morning. Why were they more noble? Because they searched the Scriptures daily. How many times have I said we need to be in the Word of God every single day? We all know my day starts with it because that's the first thing I want to do. I want to be in. I want my day to go the best it can, and starting with the Word of God is a good start. So that's what I do. It works for me. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning, and I'm going to get up early enough to go pray with my sister-in-law before she has surgery. Okay? I'm going to do that. I have to figure out how much time I have to get up in the morning to get ready and get to the hospital, and then I have to add my time that I spend with God in the morning first. So I'm going to get up a lot earlier than I normally do, let's just say, right? But I'm not going to negate my time with God because I have somewhere to be earlier than normal. I've gotten so that I try not to plan anything at 8 o'clock in the morning, especially on a Monday. But sometimes I have to do that. This week I'm going to have several. I've got another one I have to be in all-day class Thursday, starting at 8 a.m., again, you got to get up earlier because you got to not negate the time with God. And it just depends on how you, and some people do it at night. That's fine. Whatever time of the day you want to do it, just do it, right? Get that knowledge. Long-suffering, kindness. Look at the next part of verse 6. It says, by long-suffering, by kindness. He also acted with long-suffering and kindness, being not easily provoked. Oops. Not easily provoked. Man, we can go off just because somebody walked by us, right? We didn't like the way they looked when they walked by us. But bearing with the hardness of men's hearts and hard treatment from their hands, to whom he kindly endeavored to do good. See, we want to reward evil with evil, and God says, no, reward evil with good. it's hard to do, right? If it was easy, as I've said many times, we'd all be doing it, right? But it's difficult because it goes against the flesh. Our flesh says, if you dish out evil to me, I'm going to dish out more evil to you. And God says, no. Dish out good for the evil they've given you. We say, but this flesh doesn't like that idea. But you're not supposed to be living in the flesh. Ouch. You're right, we're not. Walking in daily spirit fullness, genuine love, as we continue on in there, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. He acted under the influence of the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit guide him from the noble principle of unfeigned love. Unfeigned love. Be good if we would treat others with love. It'd be really good if we just treat one another with love. If everything we did, as I've said over and over, if we just did everything we did in love, it'd come out better, right? When we're attacked, we just return in love. We'd say, well, don't want to look wimpy. Was Jesus wimpy looking? I mean, as I pointed out this morning, they nailed him to the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, he should have come down off that cross and beat them to death, right? No. He showed them love. They certainly didn't have any love for him, but he showed them love. The Bible, verse 7, says, by the word of truth, by the word of truth, which they proclaimed, by the way, they proclaimed the word of truth. They didn't take the word of God and say, thus saith the Lord, and mingle it with untruths like Satan did. They gave the gospel. They gave the truth. Making known the truth of the gospel, it was his object to make known the simple truth. He did not corrupt it by false mixtures of philosophy and human wisdom, but communicated it as it had been revealed to him. He just took what God gave him and gave it out. It's pretty simple. We just need to take the word of God that God gave us and pass it on to others. Then the omnipotent power of God, as we continue on, by the power of God, under the supports and assistances of the power of God, we think, well, I'm just a little old me, what can I do? Now, we were talking about the chosen, and I don't know much about it, but from the sound of things, it sounds like it reveals that the disciples were just ordinary people. Go figure. I've been saying that for years, right? Just ordinary people that were willing to be used by God. Just ordinary people. They weren't superhumans. Some of this stuff you read about, like the Apostle Paul and being beaten 39 times, shipwrecked, right? Stoned to death. I mean, they tried so many ways to get rid of him. Man, he must have been superhuman, right? No, it was just like you and me. You cut him and he bleeds. Nothing superhuman about him. Just somebody that was willing to be used of God. He understood that what he needed was the power of God. And he knew where to get it. We should understand that we too need the power of God, and we should know where it comes from. By the divine power which attended the preaching of the gospel, which may include all the displays of divine power which attended the propagation of the gospel, whether in the working of miracles or in the conversion of men. If it be asked how Paul used this power so as to give no offense in the work of the ministry, it may be replied that the miraculous endowments bestowed upon the apostles, the power of speaking foreign languages, etc., seem to have been bestowed upon them to be employed in the same way as were their natural faculties. God gave them the ability to do everything He sent them to do. And over and over, and I've said, God gives us the ability to do whatever it is He calls us to do. Doesn't matter what it is. If God calls you to do it, He will equip you to do it. It's how He works. See, a lot of people think, no, God just equips the called. No. He calls people that are already equipped, is what I'm trying to say. No, He equips those that He calls, but we have to be willing to follow His lead. People who have all kinds of talents, can God use them? Yes. Can somebody with no talent whatsoever be used of God? You bet they can. Living proof, right? I don't have a lot of talents. Can't sing, can't play an instrument. I don't have any of those kind of talents. I do have the mass He put between my ears, and I'm not afraid to use it. But I don't have a lot of talents. And that's okay. Because He's going to equip us to do whatever He's called us to do. So it doesn't matter. They used the great powers entrusted to them by God, not as impostors would have done, for the purposes of gain and ambition or for vain display, but solely for the furtherance of the true gospel and the salvation of men. That was their desire. Men to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. People to come and get saved. That was their whole desire. And by that, they showed that they were sent by God, because it wasn't about them. It was about God. They used those powers which were entrusted to them as they were intended to be used by God. They didn't go off and say, you know what? Look at me. No, they pointed everyone to Jesus. That was the desire, that they would know Jesus Christ. As I said this morning, right? They'd know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was their desire. And that should be ours too. And I see we're out of time. Almost. Well, if you'll bear with me, I'm going to finish verse 6 real quick. I promise it'll be quick. The last part of verse 6. It says, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. By love unfeigned. Wait a minute. Verse 7 is where I left off. I thought that doesn't even make sense. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Having on the armor of righteousness, a consciousness of universal righteousness and holiness, which is the best defense against the temptations of prosperity on the right hand and adversity on the left. To be armed on the right hand and on the left is to be well armed or entirely equipped. They went forth to conflict. They met persecution, opposition, and slander. As the soldier went well armed to battle, so did they. But the armor with which they met their foes and which constituted their entire suit of armor was the holy life. A holy life. With that they met all the assaults of their enemies. With that all slander and persecution. That was their defense, and by that they hoped and expected to achieve their conquest. They had no swords and spears and helmets and shields, no carnal weapons of offense and defense, but they expected to meet all their assaults and to gain all their victories by an upright and holy life. They understand, or understood, and we need to understand it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. And Satan is throwing everything he can at it. And we need to be willing to be used of God to combat everything he's doing. And we need to do it in love. In love. Is our desire to see people come to know Christ as Savior? If it is, we're not going to reach them by hurling insults at them. I remember one time telling people, you can't go knocking doors and talking to people and tell them how dumb they are. Shuts them down immediately. What you need to do is tell them what the Bible says. Whatever they come up with, just shoot back what the Bible says. Don't tell them what they're doing is wrong. Tell them what the Bible says is right. Once they realize what's right, have a better chance of reaching them. All right, let's pray.